Welcome to the Crypto Gamer Podcast, presented by Iskra, the premier destination for Web3 gaming. I'm your slightly knowledgeable host, Nate. I am not a financial advisor, just a gamer speculating. And this episode, we are going to be talking about Dexio Protocol. They are a Web3 platform that already has one playable game called Dexy Knights, and they have a bunch more coming, including an augmented reality game called Dexy Hunter that is already in beta. The early trailer for this game looks really good, and some of the talk from the beta testers has been super positive. So we're going to get into a little bit more information on that soon, and also where some of their expansions are going to be happening in the future. Now, Dexio are doing a ton of cool stuff in the gaming space, but they're doing a lot of other things outside of that, including having their own marketplace, wallet, swapping, their own dedicated network, and even some business-facing solutions which are already in use. So a lot of really great stuff, and I had a chance to talk to their COO about all things Dexio Protocol, and I'm really excited to share that with you all. Now, before we get into that interview, I want to tell you about our podcast partner, Iskra. Now, Iskra believes the future of gaming is on the blockchain, and they offer the premier destination for players and developers to explore the thrill and opportunity of Web3 gaming alongside a vibrant community. So right now, actually, you can explore a platform that uses blockchain for next-gen Web3 games and a community system that rewards both players and developers based on their participation. You can sign up at pioneer.iskra.world and join their Discord group to start exploring the future of gaming. Links are in the show notes as well. Also, if you join using our Discord link in the show notes, you'll be in line for special rewards from the team. We are supported by Lichcraft Nysperians. What if I were to tell you that there's a whole universe of creatures that have been living right under our noses for thousands of years that we haven't been enlightened or lit enough to see until now? Enter the rich, magical, and diverse world of Lichcraft Nysperians. Lichcraft Nysperians is the first of many games slated to join the Lichcraft metaverse. I have to say, Lichcraft is quite possibly the deepest, fully live Web3 game currently running, and I'd sort of best describe it as Minecraft meets Pokemon meets Candy Crush, and you can dig for and craft valuable NFTs, play addictive mini-games, and collect over 236 lit pets. These are exotic creatures that you can pit against each other in exciting online battles. I had the chance to interview the creator of Lichcraft Nysperians, Tom Anderson, and I really became a fan. Finally, a legitimate, deep crypto game where you can play and earn right now. It's easy to learn and hard to master. Check out Lichcraft Nysperians for yourself at lichcraft.io, and you can also click the link in our show notes. All right, back to Dexio Protocol and our interview. So I'm really excited to have Greg Gould, the COO of Dexio Protocol, on the show today. Thanks for coming on, Greg.
Thank you, Nate. It's very good to be here. I'm excited to talk about all things Dexio Protocol and crypto blockchain in general.
Yes, definitely looking forward to it. So I really want to sort of start off with, what's your background in the industry and what sort of drew you towards wanting to create projects in the blockchain space?
So, you know, I'm 45 years old. I've been managing businesses since I was 19, actually. I started my first little sound engineering audio company when I was 19 and worked in the bar business and restaurant business as a manager, and eventually started my own music lesson company. And then I got involved in construction, and I've been, you know, running and managing businesses for my whole adult life, varying degrees. And but actually, the first time I bought any kind of crypto was in 2000. I think it was December 2017. It might have been November. A friend of mine was investing in Bitcoin and asked me if I wanted to invest. And so I just gave her some money and I was like, here you go. And we sold, I think at a 100x profit. At a 2x profit, at 100% profit, in the midst of the little bull run there. It might have been October when I bought. But anyways, I doubled my money, and that was kind of the end of it for me with crypto. About 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, my cousin who lives out in California where I grew up, her and her husband had been investing in crypto, I think since 2015, 2014. And they really started to talk to me a lot about the space and about some of the technology that is available. And, you know, I really started to kind of get interested partly in just the, you know, what is this and where is it going and what's happening? And then as I started to learn about some of the, you know, especially kind of bigger projects that, that we, you know, obviously that we know about outside of Bitcoin, you know, what we consider large caps today, I started really looking at what they were doing. And I'm like, man, this is like, this is fascinating. And then the more I understood, started to learn about blockchain itself and, you know, the kind of basic idea behind it, right? So it's a ledger. It's a digital ledger. And my background in school, I have a degree in history. I'm sort of fascinated by history. And all of human civilization is been built on the fact that we have ledgers, that we started writing things down. We started keeping track of who has what, how much you owe who, you know, where is this going? Where is that going? That's how we ended up with having a, you know, civilization itself. And so now here we have this digital ledger, which is not in and of itself new. We have digital ledgers prior to this, but this is a digital ledger that can only be written on and only, you know, information only recorded on, you know, through the medium of an application that defines the parameters by which you can write on that ledger, right? And so it's immutable. It's a kind of an incredible innovation, right? You know, here we have this way to record information in a light speed, seamless way that can never be changed, or at least not that information itself, as it's written on the ledger, cannot be changed. And I thought, wow, this is the future. Everything we do is going to end up being recorded this way, because if you think about it, everything we do is being recorded.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought this is really fascinating. So I started, you know, I started doing a little bit of, you know, buying, you know, I got a Coinbase, you know, app in.
Yeah.
I think I may have gotten a MetaMask wallet at some point in that. I'm not sure, but, I didn't really start digging into small caps until, like April of last year. And then that's when I actually found Dexio Protocol, because it was already had already started and was founded by my now business partner, Don Ryka.
All right. Yeah, that is a great story. And I think that really resounds with a lot of people. You know, no one started, you know, 15 years ago being in blockchain technology as no one knew about it. I mean, my story, I started investing in blockchain in Bitcoin in 2013. And so I also sold after a 2x and then didn't keep investing until the bull market in 2017. So, I mean, I had known about it for a long time, but I mean, like most people, skeptical until proven wrong, pretty much.
Right. It's kind of funny because you hear a lot of people express a lot of, you know, warranted skepticism about a lot of things that are going on in the crypto space and a lot of personalities in the crypto space.
Yeah.
You know, and I wrote a piece for Medium, a Medium blog some time ago, just kind of talking about my initial experiences with the internet. So again, I'm 45 years old. So my first internet connection, of my own anyways, was in my very first apartment in 1995. And the guy that came to install it for me was a kid I'd went to high school with, who had somehow convinced his father to give him the money to start an internet, you know, provider service.
Okay.
And he came over and he was like so excited because he was installing a 14.4 router for me, dial-up router.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, it was just like, he could not stop talking about how fast this was going to be.
That's
and how
great.
Great it was going to be and how I wasn't going to have to wait all this time for, you know, and of course I didn't know any different. So I was just sort of like, you know, but, you know, that was 1995. And, you know, now we're all carrying around supercomputers in our pocket that could like literally, you know, launch you to the moon, right? Mm-hmm. That can connect anywhere in the world. You get any information that you want instantaneously in images and videos and whatever, right? So it's like, okay, here we are 27 years later. And that's the evolution of that, right? And you had people along the way who were, you know, like Paul Krugman. This is my, one of my favorite, you know, I don't have anything against necessarily Paul Krugman other than the fact that he's just been like god awful wrong about so many things, but I don't know why anybody listens to him, but you know, he wrote a piece, an op-ed in the New York Times in I think 1998, in which he said the internet was going to go the way of the fax machine. And you know, I don't know how you could be that resoundingly wrong about something and anybody ever listen to you ever again. And I remember, right, you know, hearing that about that, you know, in 98 or 99, whenever that was. And even me at that time being a, you know, kind of wild, the wild kid that I was in the bar business and everything else, I was like, what? Like, that's so not, that's so like, even I could see what the internet was at that
right
point.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of industry stalwarts, you know, a lot of people that, you know, are looked up to and respected that, you know, really, you know, look down on and disrespect the blockchain and crypto space for, again, lots of, I would say, warranted reasons, but mm-hmm. it's so obvious that it's the future. It's like, yeah. it's you know, we're sitting at 1995, 14.4 dial up internet right now, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
Imagine where we're going to, could anybody have imagined where we are now with the internet and with technology in 1995? I mean, maybe there were some people, but you know, the people that we have in the space now that are innovating and thinking of things, and especially the applications of the technology in our daily lives, you know, they're innovating that transition from 14.4 dial-up router to supercomputer in your pocket. They're the people mm-hmm. that are doing that, right?
Yeah.
And that's pretty exciting to be a part of that, you know? And I, so, you know, you asked me what attracted me to it. It's exciting because it's like everything's new and it's like, there's no, you know, there's no roadmap to what we're doing. I mean, I sort of joke with people like, you know, we don't have a roadmap. People are like, well, you do have a roadmap. It's like, you know, it's a thing that you made and you put it on your website. And like, yeah, you know how many times we've had to change that as we're going along, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's no textbook of how this is done, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what the space is going to look like in 5 years and what advancements there's going to be.
In five months. I mean, you know, look at where we, I mean, could you have, I mean, maybe there were people that did predict Luna, but I mean, you know, look at what happened with Luna and UST.
Yeah. No, you know? I mean, I would have had no idea. It's
well, but there were people that were calling it out for what it was.
Yeah, they could see some, not necessarily shadiness, but just like it just doesn't work. But yeah, I mean, what they're doing.
I think there were, as you know, obviously hindsight's 2020. But
yeah,
as you look at that, it's like, okay, like how was this ever going to?
Yeah, and how actually, did more people not see it? And
right, I mean, you know, I guess it's always that way with things. But anyways, you know, so like you said, in five years, 5 months. We don't know what the space is going to be like. And that's exciting. I mean, you know, for some people, that's scary. For the Paul Krugmans of the world, that's scary, you know, but it's not scary. I think if you are excited about the possibilities of what new technology can do, not just for, you know, people who are engaged in it, but, you know, the internet has done amazing things for many, many, many people and made our lives has solved a lot of problems and improved our lives, and made things more efficient in many ways. And has had problems too, but most people don't have any idea how that works and don't care to. Just because you don't know what it is doesn't mean that it's not affecting and improving your life. And I think crypto is going to be not crypto, but blockchain is going to be one of those things in the background that is going to be this really powerful, force that most people don't understand and don't, you know, need to.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. And I think that's a good, really good analogy between, I mean, I don't know the ones and zeros of the internet. And it's when you try to explain the ones and zeros of blockchain, it just sort of people just zone out and they're like, okay, yeah. Yep. Sounds like snake oil to me, but yeah.
Yeah. I try to, you know, people often ask me, you know, to, you know, like I was talking to this guy, you know, just a few days ago. He's like, okay, look, man, you know, I'm not trying to learn everything about it, but just like, give me the like 5 minute, you know? And I'm like, okay, I can't explain this to you in 5 minutes, but I, you know, I can give you some basic knowledge about what's going on here. And about 90 seconds into my explanation, I saw the, you know, glaze happen.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it's like, that's okay, man. I got, you know, if somebody tried to explain, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just somebody who's naturally interested in things. So I can't think of anything that if somebody tried to explain it to me, I wouldn't be interested in it. But I understand it's, you know, it is complex. And actually, you know, I wouldn't even consider myself to be some kind of super expert. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, you know, as there's a kind of ongoing joke with our whole team, hashtag not a developer. I'm like, I'm involved in every single development project, like, you know, and talking to developers. I'm even looking at, you know, code with people and stuff. And I have some, you know, basic understanding of things. I'm more of a problem solver, right? I'm more of somebody who could be like, okay, well, if this didn't work and this didn't work, and then this is the problem, let's look at the, you know, I'm somebody that can do that. But, you know, I couldn't exactly explain to you. I wouldn't consider myself a development expert, a blockchain development expert by any means. You know, I understand the applications and the business of it. I understand the potential of it, but I certainly am not an expert when it comes to the actual mechanics or coding of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'd love to get into a little bit about Dexio protocol, and a little bit about the genesis of it and what sort of, your team's ethos is, because you guys are doing a lot more than being a Web3 gaming platform. There's a whole ecosystem here. So yes, I'd love to hear a little bit about what you guys are trying to do.
So Dexio protocol started actually with the, we have two tokens. The first token was launched, Dexi, on May 3rd, 2021 by Don Rijka, who is my business partner and very good friend now. And he had built a prototype for an augmented reality application that used image recognition technology to scan objects. And his idea was that he wanted to put bounties, basically, and put augmented reality bounties behind these kind of scanned images, and that the scanning function would allow you to retrieve these bounties. And, you know, through image recognition technology, would in the scanning function, you know, create a kind of game out of going around and, you know, scanning statues or buildings or whatever, to collect rewards. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of and he built the prototype and it worked, you know, to some degree. And then he launched the project around that. And I actually found out about Dexio protocol through Reddit, in a kind of haphazard way. Actually, it was a scam project that had kind of ripped off the Dexio protocol theme called Split Protocol. And I stumbled into this Telegram group for Split Protocol, and Don actually, messaged me because I was trying to figure out, you know, what was going on in this Telegram chat. He messaged me and he was like, "Hey, I just want to make you aware these guys have ripped off our website and our concept. And, This might not be what you think it is, but you know, whatever." And so, well, it turned out it was a rug pull, and he saved me from that. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's a good story.
That's a great introduction. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. So, and then, so we just kind of kept talking and we kind of hit it off. And then, probably about 2 or 3 weeks later, he asked me to join the team, and then eventually we became business partners. So his original idea, which is we've never really veered from that, was that he wanted to bring more people into crypto adoption. Right.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, since I joined the team, and then we've built a much bigger team around us of a whole bunch of, experienced people in many different, you know, fields, you know, not just crypto, but, you know, marketing, communications, finance, all kinds of stuff. We've built a really great team around us. We've all had the same vision, which is we want to create applications that make it easy for people to adopt crypto and blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
And so gaming is a great way for us to engage new activities, to adopt new ideas, right? What do we do when we go to school, right? We play games, right? That's how we learn things. What do we do when we go to, you know, youth ministries and churches or mosques or synagogues? We play games.
Yeah.
Because that's how we learn things, even on as adults, like in corporate retreats. What do we do to connect with new people and to learn new ideas?
Yeah, all the team building and
we play games, right? And so gaming is a really wonderful way to connect with people and adopt new ideas and learn new things, right? And so it's also disarming. That's one of the reasons why we use it so much with. Mm-hmm. you know, breaking down the walls between people in new engagements with people, right? That's one of the reasons why it's so effective, is it's disarming, right? And so we were talking about earlier the fact that people have just kind of this like built-in skepticism against crypto for, again, some warranted reasons. There's a lot of really scammy crap going on. And there's totally crazy bubbles happening. You know, we talked a little bit about this before, the tulip mania, I like to call it, with the NFTs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things to be skeptical about, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot of things to be, you know, really excited about too. And so it can, you know, games can be a disarming way that we interact with people. So we wanted to build not just one game, but we wanted to build a whole suite of gaming applications that were interconnected, so had some kind of connection between them. So we built a super login system that we call DexiConnect. It's an integrated login system. You have one login, it gets you into everything. And we wanted to build an ecosystem around that to support that, so that when people came, newbies came to crypto through our games, that they would also have a product that they could trust, that they could feel good about using, branded by us, that would help them facilitate them in crypto. So our marketplaces, our wallet, our swap, all of those things that we're building. So, or that we've built really. We have two marketplaces. We have an NFT marketplace that's tied to Dexi. And then we launched another token in October of last year called Dexi Gas, which is our non-blockchain in-game currency. So we wanted to break those two apart because we wanted one to be a store of value and a measure for governance of the protocol, and the other to be a free-flowing fluid currency of the gaming ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not that unusual, right? There's a lot of projects that are doing similar things. I mean, you know, things that people have heard of, like Axie, SLP, Step In, GST, those things are, it's already a phenomenon, right? So this is not groundbreaking what we're trying to divisionalize these two things, but, the games themselves, we really wanted to try to find different types of games to engage different types of people, but also to create some retention in our ecosystem, meaning you as a gamer, you know, can I think attest to this? People get bored of games.
Yeah.
Well, if you have another game in your ecosystem that's different enough, but that you can carry some of the investment that you've made into that one game into another game, you're probably going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we wanted to build an ecosystem of games that were interconnected but different. And so we've already launched one game in full-blown, it's in full-blown works. It's in season one. That's called Dexi Knights, which is an arcade-style sword fighting game. That's for PC only. It's a very, very robust, big game. It's got PvP and PvE mechanics in it. And it's play to earn. There's reward pools and we reward people based on MMR leaderboards from the PvP competition. And then we have our flagship augmented reality application that I talked about in the beginning, that Don was launched the project. That has really evolved. Mm-hmm. So his original idea to use scanning, image recognition technology and scanning, we did build a much more robust prototype of that we never really got to work right. And there was all kinds of just problems with it. And there was all kinds of scalability issues with it. And so we decided to scrap it, and we moved in an entirely different direction. I think in August, we started building a new app. Might have been September, but I think it was August actually. But and so we decided to start using geolocation to drop augmented reality bounties in augmented reality, rather than using scanning functions, use geotags.
Okay.
Have 3D animated objects in augmented reality that people could discover through the camera on their phone and collect rewards on that basis. So that concept is continuing to evolve and has a lot of really interesting business mechanics in it, metaverse mechanics in it. you know, some opportunities for partnerships with businesses and projects. So it's really a very kind of all-encompassing type of application where there's move to earn mechanics in it. There's learn to earn mechanics in it. And we're really excited about that. So we've been running a little small closed beta in 5 cities. We actually put out an APK file that people shared and shouldn't have. We ended up with like 700 downloads, but we didn't mean for that to happen. We meant for there only to be about 200 or 300 people using the application to start with.
Gotcha.
We shut that down after we realized, I got on the admin panel and I was like, Don, there's like 700 downloads.
He
was like,
oh, geez.
So some people share the APK file, but, or ABB file, whatever. But we are about to open it up to, an open beta. We were approved through, the Play Store and the App Store for our open beta. We're going to have probably around 15 to 20,000 people, available to play the app, and we're going to launch in like 30 to 40 cities. We haven't totally decided on all those cities yet, but towards the end of June, we're going to go ahead and roll that out.
Well, I would highly recommend you choose Chicago as one of your cities.
Chicago is definitely going to be on the list,
man. Okay, good.
And we can give you anytime you want to, Nate, we can give you test flight access, or I'm not sure what kind of phone you have, or Play Store access. We can give you, direct access to the closed beta anytime you want. And we can drop bounties wherever we want to. But we do have a very robust admin panel that allows us to do all kinds of really cool stuff with the bounty dropping and with being able to monitor the activity. Obviously, we've put a lot of measures in place to try to prevent spoofing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into details about that because I don't want to give the spoofers any inside knowledge about how we're tracking that. It's going to be very hard to spoof. So that's something we've been very conscious of.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is probably something that people who are botting and spoofing are really going to be hitting hard. So security is definitely one of the utmost things, especially in this gaming sphere where there are rewards at stake.
Well, and one of the things that we decided to do in very early stage was to outsource the authorization portion of our ecosystem, meaning that we have a third party that, again, I'm not going to give too much away about, things to give people too much inside knowledge. But yeah. We have a third party, which is a very well-known and very respected organization who handles the what we call tokenization of our authorization process. So when you log into our system, you're not really logging into our system. You're logging into their system.
Okay.
And in order to you, there's no way you're going to get through that. And then, it picks up a token and it sends it down to, not a token like a crypto token, but an authorization token.
Mm-hmm.
It sends it down to us and gets passed around in our ecosystem. But you're not going to, nobody's hacking that. And none of our, none of the, functionalities are game side. So we use Unity, that's the engine that we use. Mm-hmm. And Unity, certainly has some vulnerabilities, especially if somebody knows what they're doing, but nothing is being kept game side. So nobody can manipulate anything. Everything is being kept secure on our back end, again, tokenized against this third party source. So we're being very, very, very secure about that. Also because we want to be secure about people's information.
Right.
We're not storing IP addresses. We're not storing personal information of people. We're not doing anything like that. We're being very careful in that regard, but, we are very, very concerned about people cheating the system for sure. And also about people's, security and privacy. We don't want anything like, the Ronin hack or anything like that. We don't
right.
want that happening. For whatever it's worth, your system is only as good as you can make it. And there's mm-hmm. going to be people who are going to try to get into it. So we're just trying to, from the very beginning, be really conscious about how to make sure that we're protecting the business and protecting our customers, our players, and protecting their information.
Yeah. And so, it sounds like this is kind of sort of the Dexy Hunter, sort of the baby of Dexio protocol and sort of the one of the founding ideas. And games behind it. What's it been sort of like having that project sort of go into open beta, have people actually playing it, and how's the feedback been?
So it was a long time to get that to that point, right? Mm-hmm. And part of it was because we had to pivot away from that image recognition technology and into, you know, basically rebuild the app from scratch. You know, so that was a big setback. And the application is incredibly complicated. There's social features in it. Okay. So you can request friends. You can have friends on your application. You know, inside of the hunter, we call them hunters. And you can, you know, invite your friends to go out hunting with you. You can ping them. You can chat with them. There's a whole chatting, you know, SDK in there. You know, so we wanted it to be this all-encompassing thing, and we didn't want to put out some haphazard. So we really spent a long time and a huge amount of our resources on getting that to the table. But once we actually got it in people's hands, yeah, the response was extremely good. You know, it was just people were super excited to be able to go out and, you know, and we let people in the closed beta collect rewards, and we issued those rewards. So they were able to collect 15 different cryptocurrencies. You know, Dexi and Dexi Gas are two cryptos, and then we have 13 other cryptos that we put in that are, you know, staple cryptos that you would know: Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, AVAX, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We had Luna in there for a second. but yeah, I made the executive decision to pull that when all that went down.
Probably smart.
Yeah, we replaced it with VeChain, which I would have rather had anyways when I really thought about it. I think VeChain's a great project, but, so we let people collect those rewards so that was kind of fun, but people were, you know, super excited about it. We were excited to see people so excited about it. And there was all this social media, you know, being posted all the time, people posting, you know, on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all these videos and screen recordings and, you know, people recording other people with their phones. And it was really, you know, it's been really cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's also was a lot of constructive feedback, which is what we wanted, about things that you know, some user functionality that wasn't very clear, or that, you know, people had a lot of really good ideas about how to improve the app from a user experience point of view, which is a big reason why we had the closed beta to begin with, was to try to get feedback, because we'd been building the app for a year. It was like very intuitive to us how everything worked because we'd been working on it, you know?
But yeah.
Something, you know, just totally cold in somebody's hand, and they're like, wait, how does this work? You know, so then we had to figure out, okay, we need to make sure that we're, you know, putting out an application that's really intuitive, right? But yeah, that's been great. And it was great to get approved with the App Store public beta, because that's a huge step. Getting things pushed through, you know, just a, you know, developer account on iOS is not really that hard, but getting that public beta approved, you know, a human being reviews that and makes sure that they're okay with that. So that was really big for us. So we're excited, man. We have a lot of private equity people and venture capital people talking to us, you know, because I think they are starting to realize the potential of what we're doing. And so that's kind of exciting too, is, you know, we're getting all these kind of phone calls about, hey, you know, do you guys need some money? And we're like, yeah, actually we do, because we have bootstrapped this whole thing. And, you know, we've gotten this far, you know, working 19 hours a day. So
yeah.
we definitely need some help, you know, to continue this thing. But yeah, it's been really cool, man. It's been really neat to see, you know, just how excited people are about it.
Yeah, definitely. And so we kind of skirted over this a little bit, but we've sort of been mentioning the Dexia Protocol team a little bit. How many people are on the team? And I'd love to hear a little bit about the CEO too, because I don't know much about him.
So I think we have about, if you include the community managers and mods and all that stuff, there's about 50 of us. But there's 10 developers on the developer team, and there's 9 game developers and designers on the game team. And then there's 6 of us in operations. There's a separate design team, non-game design related, but just, you know, marketing and design team that there's 4 people on. So, it's a big team. And you know, everybody that works with us, with a few exceptions with developers, has been, you know, people that were just excited about Dexio and were, you know, token holders, investors who were active in the community and then became part of the team and then, you know, moved up to the executive level.
Yeah.
Except for Twan Kersting. Twan is our chief development officer who, you know, largely oversees like the wallet swap projects and all that stuff. He's known Don Rika, who's our chief executive officer for many years and for several years. And, so they kind of started things together, but, Don Rijke is my business partner. He's, from the Netherlands. Don's 26 and, he's a software developer by trade. He's, you know, worked in software development for his whole adult life and, has been kind of, you know, goofing around with computers and programming and stuff since he was a kid. He's a, you know, very avid gamer, very, excited about all kinds of different games. And, you know, he's one of the, you know, most kind of genuine, authentic, very smart people I've ever met in my life. He's, you know, he's very mature. He's, you know, I'm 45, he's 26 and we've become very good friends. There's a very big, there's a generational gap there, right?
Yeah.
Sort of joke that he could be my kid, which, I mean, I guess technically, physically he could, but, you know, but we, yeah, we're very close and, you know, he's got a real, you know, passion and enthusiasm for crypto and blockchain and gaming. But, you know, we also share, some, you know, ethical, and you know, kind of moral values that I think have really bound us in the sense that we, you know, we really both believe in equality, and that, you know, people should be given opportunities. And so one of the things that we've worked very hard to build is an ecosystem that doesn't, automatically advantage people who have means, right? So all of our games are free. They're free to download, and they're free to play. And if you don't want to, you know, put, you know, almost any money into it at all or any crypto into it at all, and you just want to invest your time because that's what you have. You don't have any money, but you got time. You can build a very competitive profile in our gaming ecosystem and, you know, compete in the PvP MMR mechanics of our reward systems and do very well if you're willing to invest your time. Mm-hmm. If, you know, you don't want to do that and you just want to throw some cheddar down to, you know, get the items that you need to be able to compete, well, you can do that too, but you can't pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was something we've always, and actually Ovi Sanz, who's, was going to be on this podcast, but actually he's just getting over COVID. So I was like,
geez.
Break. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been trying to work through that and stuff. So I said, let's give him a break.
But yeah,
and he's fine. He's doing okay now. He definitely turned a corner yesterday, but I still thought it would be better if you know, we didn't put this on him, not that this is a, you know, trouble, but it's just a lot of talking. And, you know, Ovi also, who's our head game developer, you know, also really very focused on making sure that we have, you know, accessibility for anyone and the opportunity for anyone to be able to compete and play and earn. So, you know, those shared values that we have, I think the whole team, you know, has those shared values, has really kind of helped keep us together in spite of everything that's happened with the market. And, you know, we've definitely faced some challenges with, you know, whale sell-offs and, you know, the token prices being down. And,
yeah,
you know, we've certainly, you know, faced and are facing a lot of challenges in that regard. But I think our kind of shared values have helped us stay committed to what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And we've sort of mentioned this a little bit with Dexy Knights, and I'd like to sort of move us back in sort of the gaming sphere a little bit. One of the best ways right now for gamers to experience your platform is through Dexy Knights because it's your first playable game. I'd like to hear a little bit about that, especially the leaderboard rewards that you guys have just started up. It's something that probably will get a lot of people interested in.
Yeah. So, as I said, Dexy Knights is an arcade style hack and slash sword fighting game. The NFTs that are available for purchase, at the DXG Game Emporium, which is emporium.dexioprotocol.com, are swords and armor. So your sword is, you know, obviously, you know, sword and your armor is your armor. And they are upgradable NFTs. What does that mean? That means that the NFT itself has data tracked against it on the back end of the server, metadata essentially, and that over time accumulates and gives different values to the NFT. So in the case of a sword, it makes the sword stronger over time, the more kills the sword has. In the case of the armor, the more, you know, instances of defense it has, the stronger it gets, right? So, the value of that is when you, if you buy it, you know, from the project, you know, when we mint them and launch them, they're level one and they can be leveled up to level 10 and then you can sell it, you know, the level 10 weapon to somebody who wants to, doesn't want to go through all the trouble of leveling up their
yeah.
weapon or their armor. And so that's one way that you can actually earn that is a, you know, you and I talked about is kind of a cool aspect of the blockchain and NFT gaming is that it allows you to invest in the resources that you're spending money on and actually, you know, potentially and very often be able to get, you know, even more money back out of them. Right. So that's kind of a cool thing. You're investing in the game, right? And that you have the ability to get something out of that investment. But the rewards from the leaderboard. So we have, as I said, MMR rankings, matchmaker rankings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, the leaderboard payouts are done in weekly, monthly, and seasonal, pools. And so every week we're going to hand out $1,000 worth of Dexy Gas, which is the in-game currency. And every month we'll hand out an additional $3,000 worth. And every season, an additional $10,000 worth. And what does that mean? That means that, you know, we're putting out a bunch of Dexy Gas. But where's that coming from? It's coming from the sale of the NFTs and also the battle passes, which I'll talk about in a second. So you have Dexy Gas coming in, and that's what we're using for the reward pools, right?
Okay.
So sustainability is very important to us, right? We're not, it's not just some, you know, Ponzi scheme. We want to make sure that we have a sustainable economic ecosystem. So that's where that comes from. The way that you win is by being part of the top 25% of people on that MMR leaderboard. So the top 5%, you know, split, half of the reward. And then the next 10% split 35% of the reward, and then the next 10% split 15% of the reward. That's how that system works. So if there's $1,000 and you have, you know, 10 players that represent the top 5%, they're gonna each get $100, right? Or I'm sorry, each get $50 because you're getting half of that $1,000, right? You know, we're trying to make it so that you can compete and win, that you got to compete to win,
mm-hmm.
but that, you know, a fairly wide range of people are able to earn. And we're looking at ways to make it so that even if you're not on those leaderboards necessarily, that you have some opportunities to earn also so that, you know, people who are just playing can also kind of earn. And we do have a non-blockchain in-game currency that we call DexiCast, which is just meant for like non-blockchain items and stuff inside of the ecosystem.
Okay.
And people are able to earn that all throughout the game. So think like Robux or, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
something like that. This is our first season with Dexy Knights. So we're going to see how it goes and we're going to get feedback from people about what people do and don't like about the way that we're doing the reward systems. And we'll make modifications because, you know, like I said, there's no tutorial on this, right? We're trying to figure this out. We're trying different things and we're using community feedback to improve the experience for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about tokens a little bit. So, one of the things I was curious about is, are you having individual tokens for each game, or is it, you know, Dexy Gas and your Dexy Cash is going to be sort of the standard throughout all of your offerings?
So, yeah. So every game, will utilize Dexy Gas as the economic currency, the blockchain currency. So all the NFTs for the games will be bought and sold in Dexy Gas. And with the exception of Hunter's kind of its own thing. So all the other games will function on Dexy Gas. So again, all the NFTs, all the reward pools will be paid out in Dexy Gas. And then Dexy Cash is the non-blockchain in-game currency, the kind of Robux or whatever. Also, every game will have that. and you'll be able to use it throughout the entire ecosystem. So if you earn Dexy Cash in Dexy Knights, you can spend it in Dexy Dragons.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So if you, you know, if you earn Dexy Gas as a, you know, part of the reward pool and the leaderboards in Dexy Knights, you can buy a Dexy Dragons NFT with it.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's meant to be, you know, that's what a currency is, right?
Yeah.
A currency is used for goods and services. And that's what an economy is, the circulation of a currency. So we're trying to build an economy around this currency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These currencies. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of interesting how you talk about Dexy Cash being sort of your off blockchain currency there. And that's something I feel like a lot of games are starting to experiment with, especially when they're seeing how difficult it is to keep an in-game economy running for months and months and months. As we've seen sort of, you know, last year, a lot of games not sort of get that right, really. Sort of be kind of curious about sort of how you guys came up with that. Why have one currency sort of off-chain, one on-chain? Yeah, I think it's the economy side of blockchain is just so important. And so it's really interesting to see people's ideas and where they're sort of coming from.
Well, the fruition of that actually came from adoption. So we, and something that you and I had talked about briefly before we really got started here, but most self-identified traditional gamers are skeptical, you know, or outright opposed to NFT blockchain gaming. And it's kind of got a bad rap for, again, some warranted reasons and some unwarranted reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's also a lot of places where blockchain gaming is not allowed. I think you may be familiar with the fact that the Stepan just got in a whole bunch of trouble with the Chinese government, right?
Yeah.
We knew better than to to do what Stepan was trying to do, but, maybe they knew better too and just didn't care. I don't know. They're like, there's 1.6 billion people here, man. We need to, you know,
right.
We wanted to build a gaming ecosystem that could be played without a wallet or a blockchain. We wanted to be able to have games that miners in the US can play because miners in the US are not permitted to own crypto or trade crypto, right? Or have NFTs. And, you know, people in places where blockchain was outright banned or, you know, have major restrictions on it could still play our games. And we could still have a user base there without having to have any connection to blockchain or crypto. Mm-hmm. And so that's where Dexy Cash actually came from, was that we thought we need to have some kind of in-game currency that isn't connected to the blockchain to make, you know, the games interesting and have a reward system that at least was, you know, familiar to people. You know, again, I use the Robux as an example, but most of these games have, you know, gold or whatever, right?
Right.
So that's really where that came from. But it's, you know, it's kind of evolved over time because we've realized, and also because we wanted to create, a fiat revenue stream, because we understand that blockchain is the future, but it's insane when people are, you know, you have these like, I don't like to call them crypto anarchists. It's not the right word, but it's usually kind of the phrase that's used to describe something like, you know, Bitcoin is going to be the only world currency and blockchain. And you're just like, okay, like maybe, you know, like 50 years from now, but
right.
Like, not reality right now. And, you know, in order to support a business, you have to have some kind of traditional revenue streams to pay people to, to pay your bills, you know, Amazon Web Services doesn't accept crypto. Maybe someday they're going to, but they currently don't. So, you know, I got to pay those bills, right?
Yeah.
So we have to have fiat revenue streams and we really wanted to build a hybrid business model, not just the business of crypto and blockchain. Cause I mean, one of the things that, you know, any rational business person looks at crypto and why many, you know, people, you know, friends of mine, colleagues of mine that I've had, you know, over the years, they, oh, you know, crypto's a scam or it's whatever. Because they look at these projects and they immediately go, where's the money? Where's the money? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you run this thing? if how you're running it is because you have new incoming investors, that's a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
No. A lot of crypto is a Ponzi scheme. It's dependent on new incoming investors to pay off the old ones, right? Mm-hmm. The new investors are used as exit liquidity for the old investors. I mean, that's what happens, right?
Yep.
It doesn't have to be the way that it is, though. If you build a business model that actually includes fiat revenue streams and traditional business mechanics. So some traditional business mechanics that are pretty obvious, right? Marketing and advertising. If you have an augmented reality application that you can drop augmented reality stuff into wherever you want to, you can partner up with Adidas to put a big Adidas banner right over the front of the Nike store in the middle of Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
You can, right? And then you drop a whole bunch of really valuable bounties there and really piss Nike off.
Mm-hmm, right. So
I'm not saying that we're doing that, but if you're listening, you know, you better get to us before Adidas does.
Right.
I'm kidding, but I mean, you know, so obviously there's ways that you can generate revenue through marketing and advertising in gaming. You can have marketing and advertising inside of games, even a PC game. Of course, you can have sponsored events, all kinds of branded stuff inside of the game, which does already happen. There's some ways that you can have traditional revenue streams that some of the bigger projects are already doing. And I don't think anybody really talks about it, but anyways, transactional revenue, right? So Solana, if they, you know, if you get their network to work, is getting transactional revenue from processing Visa and MasterCard transactions, right? So yeah. There's a lot of opportunity for traditional revenue streams that are pretty obvious, but then there's opportunity for traditional revenue streams that maybe aren't so obvious, right? One of the obvious ones is having a non-blockchain in-game currency that you're selling to people like Robux, right?
Mm-hmm. You have that
now. Believe yeah. me, I get lots of dings on my iTunes account for my kids' Robux purchases. I'm just like, really? Like, this is crazy.
Again?
I mean, you need more? Like, can I get a value pack or something?
Right.
Sure you can, but anyway, they'd probably just spend it all. But there's some not so obvious ways that you can also, develop some business mechanics. So one of the things that we're doing is we're partnering with businesses in the places where we're launching the Hunter beta. And we're allowing these businesses to create redeemable coupons that are captured in augmented reality and redeemed at their store. And then we collect a little piece of that transaction. So let's say you get, you know, $1 off at, you know, your coffee shop or whatever, you know, we might get 10 cents out of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're working out different deals with different people and really we're just trying to get things off the ground. So we're not so concerned about it, but that's another way that we can generate revenue, right?
Yeah.
And if we can generate the revenue that we need to be able to support the business and support the continuing development of the blockchain technology itself, then we have a sustainable system, right? If our reward system is being dished out on the basis of the activity of the people who are playing it, right? They're buying the NFTs using our in-game currency. We're pooling that and then we're dishing it back out as a reward.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's sustainable. That's not just making up nothing, you know, something for nothing. That's a sustainable system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're after, man. We're after, yeah. We're not trying to just, you know, make a bunch of money on some giant pump and bail. Like that's we're not interested in that at all. And we did have a giant pump back in October and November, which I never really could quite explain how that happened. a lot of people, you know, did very well in that, you know, and a lot of people didn't. A lot of people got caught in their bags at the top. And, you know, I feel worse for the people who got caught with their bags at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel good for the people that made out well. You know, that's not what we're interested in. We're not interested in some people doing well and other people's not and other people not. We're interested in everybody doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you sort of hit the nail on the head there, especially with Ponzi-nomics sort of being the big thing going on right now. So it's really interesting to hear you guys about how you're addressing that. We could really be going on and on and on about your guys' game offerings because you have so much stuff on your roadmap with sort of Dexy Dragons coming out soon and Dexy Carnival, Hero, Legends of Dexyverse. But I was kind of curious, with so many projects you guys have going on, how do you sort of choose what you guys are investing your time and effort into? With sort of sounds like a lot of things sort of coming at you guys and people wanting to sort of partner with you.
Well, so, you know, hindsight's 2020, and had I known what I know now, I don't think we would have tried to do so many things at once, because it wrought with, you know, a great deal of struggle and problems, you know, because we've been, I think, pulled in too many different directions and spread a little bit too thin. And so one of the things that we have committed to all of our whole team and our devs and everything is, once we, you know, have the ecosystem where we want it, which we're making some upgrades to the Emporium and the marketplace, and we're working out some of the bugs with Dexy Knights, and obviously we're getting ready to roll out Dexy Hunter. Once the open beta, once we get Dragons and Carnival out, you know, later on this summer, you know, we're really going to kind of slow down any kind of new development and just work on honing in all the different parts of our ecosystem and making sure that things are working seamlessly and smoothly. And move away from trying to push more products out. One of the things that we are going to be pushing out, you know, in addition to all that, which hasn't really been talked much about yet, is what we call Dexy Zones, which is, the metaverse portion of what we're doing. But that's a business mechanic that's tied to our NFT technology, and integrated into the Dexy Hunter application. So essentially you, as an individual, can purchase a Dexy Zone by purchasing an NFT that represents that Dexy Zone. And all of the activity that happens in that Dexy Zone, all of the bounties that are collected, any activity that happens, any business partnerships or anything that happens in that real estate, you get a piece of.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. And so you can also, you know, build that business if you want to, bring more businesses on, bring more partner projects on. You can, you know, launch specialty NFT projects inside of your Dexy Zone that have specific, attributes or passes or whatever you want to do with it. But that's one of the things that we are going to be rolling out here, pretty soon, I think, because we want to kind of get out in front of it before we really push Hunter to its full potential. Plus, we think that'll help actually drive some attention on Hunter, because there's an opportunity to make a lot of money.
And that, yeah.
We're interested in that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that definitely gets interest going. So we're really going to kind of slow things down once we get to the finish line with a few things. We do have, you know, some, like I said, some venture capital and private equity people coming to us. We have some opportunities to raise some money in some different ways and bring on some more developers and some get more game developers. Build out our infrastructure and streamline some of our resources. And I think that's kind of the next phase for us is, okay, we've done a lot and we've built some cool stuff and we've proven that we're committed and that we're here to stay. You know, now we're going to take on some capital and we're going to take this thing to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. And so sort of moving beyond the gaming sphere, because you guys are doing a lot of stuff outside there. I was very interested in one of your aspects, Dexy Payments, where it seems like it's sort of addressing more business needs outside of gaming. Am I correct in that, or is that
you
more?
Are.
Yeah.
So actually, before before all the UST stuff happened, I had this idea with Don that we wanted to launch our own stablecoin, but it would be an algorithmic stablecoin, but it would not be based, on some kind of algorithmic relationship between our tokens and the stablecoin, like Terra was,
mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, like Tron, the Tron stablecoin is, which is a little worrisome. I mean, it's basically exactly the same as UST. I don't know why people aren't totally freaked out by it, but I think it only has like a $90 million market cap, so maybe it's not that scary. But anyways. We had this idea that we wanted to build a stable coin, but what we wanted to do was take a basket of currencies and other assets that would hedge against one another in a constant, hedge trade to balance itself against the price of gold.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea would be you tie the basket's value to the price of gold. So if you had, you know, let's say, you know, you had outstanding $1 million worth of this stablecoin out, you would pick some value, you know, probably 30 or 40% that you would cover in you know, base liquidity. And then you'd have some port, you know, you'd just have like, you know, reserves to in that portion. And then you would, so you'd have, you know, let's say $300,000-$400,000 in reserves. And then you would have the remaining portion would be this balanced, liquidity where you would have a basket of assets that were constantly trying to stay with the price of gold, whether it was going up or going down. And that's where that, you know, so we had this idea that we wanted to do that. Obviously needed a huge amount of capital to do something like that. So we had this idea, but in that process of that idea, when one of our holders came to us, and he was like, "Hey, I have this barber shop in England, and I just accepted my first payment in DEXI from."
Oh, really? Oh, cool. And
I thought, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, what if we built a payment system outside of the stablecoin? We could have the stablecoin be part of that. But what if we built a payment system that allowed for the businesses that we partner with in the DEXI Hunter application, or businesses that we partner with, that, you know, sponsors for the games or whatever, any business that we partner with, we create a way for them to be able to accept DEXI or DEXI gas or whatever we wanted to as payment for goods and services, at their, so essentially swapping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we're definitely going to do, you know, regardless if we do the stable coin, which we may not do. If we do the stable coin, it'll be integrated into that system because it'll be a swapping function within that ecosystem. But, you know, How cool would that be to be able to, you know, partner with a business like, let's say, Starbucks, you know, who drops a bunch of QR codes and redeemable bounties or whatever in Hunter as a way to advertise. But then they have a mechanism, you know, in addition to that, because they're already integrated into our system with the redemption system, we just allow them to accept DEXI and then redeem it with us directly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they could, you know, things could be paid for in DEXI, and then they would just immediately swap it back to some sort of liquidity pool with us for USDC or USDT or whatever they wanted to, right? So it's just like a really cool function, right?
Yeah.
So we're interested in building as many different products and you know, usable applications as we can to make using crypto easy for people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to do.
Yeah.
We want to make it easy for people.
Yeah, definitely. And that seems like that's sort of the biggest hurdle. People think of it as all these different steps, and the easier it is going to be to onboard people and get people more excited about blockchain technology.
Yeah, they just have to use it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, I'm sure people my age in 1995 were resistant to their 14.4 routers.
Yeah.
You know, they were. Paul Krugman was resistant, because, you know, what happens to people, you know, the vast majority of people, you know, as they get older, you know, you sort of like, you kind of find what works for you, and you don't really want to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like my paper calendar or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and I do this too with some things, right? Like there's like, you know, there's cool stuff that, you know, like the computer I'm talking to you on. It took me like 2 years to get a new computer. I needed a new computer for like 2 years, you know, and I just was like, it wasn't even about the technology of it. It was more just like, I just didn't want to deal with making the transition, and I didn't feel like going to the Apple store. And like,
right.
I
yeah.
Like, I don't do any of these things, you know? So people are like, you know, very resistant to change. If they have something that works, they just, but if you make it easy for them, you know, or if you kind of trick them into using it, which is sort of what we're doing with the gaming ecosystem. Hey, play our games. Don't get a wallet. You know,
yeah.
Whatever. Play the game. It's fun. But, you know, by the way, you're going to collect these digital assets that you can't do anything with unless you get a wallet. So
right.
I put a joke with people, like, we're like drug dealers. We're like, hey man, I'll give you a taste of the blockchain.
yeah, I like it.
It is what's needed. You got to kind of let people dip their toes in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And do that in a way that disarm them to do that. Right. You know, that's the hard part. You got to disarm people.
Yes, absolutely.
Things can do.
Yeah. Well, I've taken up way too much of your time. Is there something else on your roadmap you'd like to spotlight before we call it?
Well, one of the things that we're eventually going to do is migrate to, our own platform. When we didn't talk much about that, we call it the Smart Dexio Network. We've actually built and deployed several different variations of blockchains onto testnets and played around with things, and we haven't found anything that we really like. We also haven't found the right people to do that for us. And, we are not really concentrating on it anymore. So one of the things our community is constantly asking about is that, because I think people have this impression that, you know, layer one projects are, you know, top 20 projects, right?
Right.
And that's true. There's lots of layer one projects that are not top 20. But there's very few top 20 projects that are not layer one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chainlink is the only one I can really think of.
Yeah.
And Chainlink is about as close to a layer one as you can get, you know, and they have a very robust ecosystem as a layer two. I didn't talk much about that because we haven't figured out what we want to do with it yet. And we're so focused on other things. I don't think we're going to figure out what we're going to do with it anytime in the next, you know, month or two. So that would be the only other thing that we didn't talk about on the roadmap that I think people would want to hear about. But I don't really have much to say about it. So,
all right. Sounds good. Well, Greg, I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day and joining me and talking not just about Dexio, but all things blockchain. It's been a lot of fun talking with you.
Yeah, man, it's been really nice talking to you, Nate, and we appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. Like I said, you seem like you're very enthusiastic and authentic and genuine, and, you know, we need more people in the space like that. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. All right, that's all for today. Thanks for listening, and if you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe and follow me on Twitter or Instagram for when future episodes come out. And if you want to support the podcast, feel free to support me on Patreon. You'll get access to exclusive NFT giveaways and find out what I'm actually investing in. Details are in the show notes. Thanks again, and happy NFT hunting!